Good afternoon, everybody. It is Thursday afternoon, and it is now time for Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Hey, Fetch. Hey, Fetch.
Quiet, quiet. Go ahead. She's asking a question. Don't be rude. Don't be rude.
Hey, Fetch, did that woman really say you have garnets of steel and a mind like a freaking laser?
Mary, you can't be asking questions like that. This is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Why not? Aren't we broadcasting from the Middle East?
Well, yeah, but we might be seen as being politically incorrect.
You know, the problem is everybody dumps people when there's a sign of political incorrectness.
Fetchan, you're always politically correct.
Heck, thanks. Does that mean we can talk about dumping the Israelis tomorrow?
Oh, I'm sure you will probably say quite a bit more than that. And now coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, this is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time with your host, The Fetch.
And from Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia, this is indeed The Fetch, and you are listening to Inside the Eye Live Prime Time. Today's date is Thursday, November 16th, 2017, and a good Thursday afternoon to early evening to all of you listening in the United States and Canada. And a good late afternoon to evening to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones. And, of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets, may all be well with you and yours. The weather here in Riyadh is on the cooler side. That's a good thing, with the current temperature sitting at 63 degrees on the way down to an early morning low of 60 degrees in the hour just before sunrise. Tomorrow's high is expected to hit only 80 degrees, and that for a very brief period, so much of tomorrow is going to be spent with temperatures in the 70s. Tomorrow winds are pretty much, winds are pretty much non-existent, and I think they reported something like 4 miles per hour out of the east-northeast, and that shouldn't change much going throughout tomorrow. The barometric pressure is sitting at 28 inches of mercury. It's great to be back, everybody. It's been a difficult time the past couple of weeks. We've had a little bit of a mechanical breakdowns over here with actually, believe it or not, a denture plate smashed in half and just nothing to talk with. I've actually got the darn thing replaced as of about only a few hours ago, so I'm still learning to work with this darn thing. So if I sound a little bit off with my voice, that is going to be why. I'm going to have to get this thing adjusted, I think, a little bit to get my voice to sound just as smooth as it used to. But nonetheless, that's how it goes, folks. I've been very sick over the last weekend. It was really, there we go. That's why it didn't sound so good. But anyways, yeah, we've been very sick last weekend and last Thursday, Friday, Saturday, really into Sunday. It was quite a difficult time. And then, of course, add in the fact that I really haven't had any internet here. And that's kind of how it works. It's been very difficult to get on the air, to get out there live and stream to everybody. I have gotten, surprisingly, and thank you, everybody, a lot of emails. I think probably 10, 12, close to maybe 15 emails saying, hey, Fetch, is everything okay? Is everything okay? Is everything okay? And that is because, as a lot of you know, there's been a lot of details and difficulty going on here in Saudi Arabia. And I work at a reasonably decent level here. And so people are worried about where I was and what was going on. That's, of course, with the latest arrests going on with all these various princes and business leaders being arrested on corruption charges. It's very complicated what's going on here in Saudi Arabia right now. Some of it is difficult to read. A lot of it is, quite frankly, difficult to read. We're trying to sift through it. I got a call, probably 3 days after the arrest hit. And I was asked to go on a meeting to the Public Security Department. And the Public Security Department is essentially the national police here in Saudi Arabia. So I was asked to attend a meeting, and the guy said, Dennis, this is a good time right now in Saudi Arabia because the king is doing, or actually the crown prince, is doing some really, really good things right now and taking out a lot of the corruption. You know, there's a story a lot. And I, by the way, there's been a lot of stuff. I've read a lot of stuff out there after this story broke. I know a lot of you guys and gals, you were following, I'm sure, some of what was going on in Saudi Arabia. There was so much. This is a coup. This is a consolidation of power. This is an anti-corruption thing. This is a prince who is out of control. He's brash. There's lots and lots of stories going on about what's been happening here in Saudi Arabia. And I'd like to categorically say that there's a lot of truth to a lot of that. And so that it's not 100% true in all cases, but there's a lot of truth to what is being said out there in the media on all fronts, quite frankly. And so we're going to cover somewhat of Saudi Arabia today, because I know a lot of you folks have been very interested, obviously, in what I might have to say about that, because I'm the only guy here. The rest of these people who are talking, they're not here. But I am here, and I have a little bit of insight. Now, to set it up, just to give you guys an idea, in Saudi Arabia, the line of ascension to the throne, so to speak, the line to become a king has often gone through a tribe known as Sudairi, Sudairi. And most of the kings, except for King Abdullah, came through the Sudairi clan. And the Sudairi clan is in reference to one of the original founders of the kingdom here. His favorite wife, her maiden name was Sudairi. She was from the Sudairi tribe. And so a lot of the kings have come through the Sudairi chain. And when King Abdullah came to power a few years ago, and most of my people, quite honestly, so I've kind of had to be a little bit quiet here, because most of my people came from the King Abdullah side of things, as far as the relations I had in Saudi Arabia. And this tribe was known as what was called the Shamar, Shammar tribe. So you had these two competing tribes, the Shamar tribe and the Sudairi tribe. The Shamar tribe has traditionally controlled the Saudi Arabia National Guard. And the power structure in Saudi Arabia is really set against three different pillars. One of those is the Ministry of Interior. The Crown Prince Nayef, he was actually deposed back in June. He was headed up, he was the guy, one of the princes that headed up the Ministry of Interior. And what happened with Crown Prince Nayef many, many, many years ago, he was in a meeting, and somebody actually exploded a small bomb in their stomach. And that injured Prince Nayef. It did not kill him, but it did injure him. And he pretty much after that, he took on a very active role in pretty much shutting down any and all what he considered Islamic extremism. And so that was Prince Nayef. Now, he was deposed. King Abdullah, his line was broken. So now we have a situation where there's a lot of apparent, because I'm not on the inside, everybody. There's a lot of infighting going on, apparently, within the royal family as we start to get into the next generation of leaders. This is going to be the very first time that we've actually had somebody that is going to be a king who is not a direct descendant of the original founder, King Abdulaziz Al Saud, when the kingdom was founded. So we are now starting into what is really our, we skipped a whole generation. We are going now into this like third generation of leadership here in the kingdom. So there's a lot of turmoil, I would presume, within the royal family, because there's a lot of money and wealth and prestige at stake here in the kingdom. But what's happened this past week, a couple weeks ago, really, when we saw all these arrests going on here in Saudi Arabia. One of the most amazing aspects of this is a guy by the name of Prince Walid bin Talal. What is it? Bin Talal al-Walid. Walid al-Bin Talal. The head of Kingdom Holding. And the reason why this is so remarkable is he's quite frankly one of the richest people here in Saudi Arabia. He's worth something like $18 billion. That's Walid bin Talal. But what I noticed when I saw the arrest coming in here is that there was something going on relative to Hillary Clinton. It became obvious. Now, Walid bin Talal is somebody that had donated over $10 million to Hillary's Clinton Foundation. When we look at some of the people that have been arrested in the royal court, there are links to the John Podesta group. And, of course, the John Podesta and all the pedophilia and things like that that you've heard a lot about. So we have links there. We have links to people who are promoting the Russian angle. So we've got another guy, his name Omar al-Dabag. He set up a university at Berkeley University, University of California, Berkeley, called the Philanthropy University. And this university was about basically training next generation of activists, kind of in the same vein as George Soros. So what it looks to me is that part of what is happening here in Saudi Arabia is, whether it was done with the United States or not, obviously we're not going to be able to know. But what happened was, it looks and appears very much that elements of the Hillary global criminal network may indeed have been targeted in this quote-unquote anti-corruption shakedown here in Saudi Arabia. Now, on the street, it's played very well here in Saudi Arabia. The people, as a general rule, understand implicitly that corruption in the higher echelons of Saudi Arabia is nearly absolute. There's been issues or cases where we have brought things to the table, for instance, in my case, and you won't even get the time of day. Nobody will even look at it. And the reason why they're not going to look at it, quite frankly, is because you would eliminate some of the corruption. And that, at least that's what we believe, is why things are not being looked at. So there's been so much corruption. You know, there's a story dating back to, 2009, I think it was, or something like this, 2009, 10, 11, something like that, in Jeddah. And Jeddah is a port city on the western side of the kingdom here. And somebody took a contract, and the job was essentially to lay down flood control channels, dig up the streets, put the drainage in. And what they did is, apparently, what they did is they essentially just put manhole covers on the street. They didn't bother to dig up the streets. They didn't bother to put in any drainage pipes or anything. They just put manhole covers on the street. And a giant rainstorm came in. Some 40-plus people died through the flooding. And to this day, nobody has ever been brought to justice regarding that incident. And so these types of stories are very not 100% common, but they're not unusual here in Saudi. That Jeddah incident being one of the more puzzling, let's say puzzling, for the people here, because the people really honestly can say nothing. They can do nothing. The corruption is at such a high level that they just have to swallow the tongue and gulp a lot of dry air and just be quiet and let it go. But, you know, when you have a situation where somebody makes billions of dollars, or billions of Saudi riyal, which would still be hundreds of millions of dollars, and all they did was lay down manhole covers on the street, literally just cut a hole on the street and put a manhole cover there and then took billions of dollars for quote-unquote drainage control, flood control, you know there's a problem. And that is one of the issues that plays well on the streets here in Saudi Arabia, because the corruption is very well known. Now, it's pretty impressive, quite frankly, what's going on here is because you've got the Ritz-Carlton Hotel. You had a giant convention talking about investment here in Saudi Arabia. A lot of people flew in to attend this gala event of investment in Saudi Arabia. And before they could fly back out of the country, the kingdom, through Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, arrested all of these people. It's estimated upwards of 500 people now have been swept up in this anti-corruption drive. But it's more complicated than that. It really is more complicated. And I suspect that a big cover of this is really the larger global criminal syndicates, the child trafficking syndicates, a lot of that linked, of course, to Hillary Rodham Clinton. Because you have to understand, Waleed bin Talal, when he was arrested, well, before, you know, when he was out there talking during the United States presidential campaign, he was a huge vocal critic of Donald Trump. He basically told Donald Trump, drop out, you're a loser. He put here in a tweet going back to December 11, 2015, at Real Donald Trump, you are a disgrace not only to the GOP but to all of America. Withdraw from the U.S. presidential race as you will never win. He put that tweet out. Now, Donald Trump tweeted back. He said, has your country, Saudi Arabia, taken any Syrian refugees? If not, why not? And then Prince Waleed, he didn't back down from that. He kept pushing the issue against Trump. But now we find that Kingdom Tower, or Kingdom Holding, was one of the investment companies that owns the Las Vegas properties, where we saw the recent false flag in Las Vegas at the Mandalay Bay Towers. We find that certain areas within the royal palace, the royal protocol, the palace within the palace here in Saudi Arabia, are linked to the Podesta group. So there's a lot going on here in Saudi Arabia and the world that is very hard to pin down. But that's not the only thing that's going on. We cannot discount, quite frankly, you can't discount from a rational observation that this may be also, at least what's going on here in Saudi Arabia, an attempt to consolidate power. I think that would have to be part of the strategy here going on. But there's a lot of things, too, that don't play well at all when it comes to international relations. For instance, the Prime Minister of Lebanon, Hariri, appears by all indications to be held. And that's not the first time an international leader has been held here in Saudi Arabia. It also happened to the president of Yemen. So there are these elements of international relations that just do not play well here on the global market, or really just common sense. You can't be sitting there holding people hostage when it comes to global leadership. You just can't do that. That's not the way diplomacy works. But we find that that is kind of what's happening here. We found that the head of the Saudi Arabia National Guard, and again, the Saudi Arabia National Guard, they are the ones that have always protected the royal family. So you had the three pillars, the Saudi Arabia National Guard, the Ministry of Interior, and then the Ministry of Defense, largely through the Air Force. These are your three pillars of power here in the kingdom. And taking out the head the Saudi Arabian National Guard. Unbelievable, quite frankly, that this man could just be swept aside so easily. But that doesn't mean it's going to be easy long term. Now, we don't know what's going to happen now with all of these people going down. Who's going to fight back long term if that's going to happen? I know there's been some questions coming out of the United States State Department saying, hey, this is getting a little bit chaotic. It's getting a little bit, what's the term? Reckless is the term that I'm hearing. You know, there's been a lot of problems with Yemen. You guys hear a lot of issues about the Yemen issue and how it's a disaster, a humanitarian disaster. And there's a lot of anger, from what I hear, from the army, the Royal Saudi Land Forces, because of the fact that they're the ones that are having to conduct this operation. They are taking massive casualties. You're not hearing about it in the press. It's not being talked about, but there is a lot of anger there. For the most part, the Saudi Arabian National Guard was kept out of it. They've been able to they have managed to keep out of it, but now the head of the Saudi Arabian National Guard has been taken out. So we're going to have to see really what happens there now. So it's been very chaotic, everybody. You know, the foreign policy issues going on here in the kingdom have not been very pleasant for the kingdom. Syria did not work out the way they'd anticipated, for sure. Yemen has not worked out the way they anticipated. Qatar has not been resolved. So a lot of the issues relative to international relations, foreign policy here for the kingdom have not worked out all that well, quite honestly. And it's almost funny, kind of funny. You have the situation where the kingdom appears to be aligning itself with Israel because there's a huge amount of anger or angst towards the Iranians themselves, the Persians. You know, here in the Middle East, you can get in trouble one side or the other if you call it the Persian Gulf or the Arabian Gulf. You know, both sides take these types of issues exceptionally seriously. So it's been a very interesting, stressful situation. Again, there's been a lot of truth and a lot of misdirection out there. But I think what we really have to look at from an American point of view, everybody, because at first, you know, we are, at least myself as an American citizen here, we have to like what we see when it comes to taking out those elements that were linked to Hillary Rodham Clinton. I would find it hard to say otherwise. Again, Prince Al-Walid was a big Clinton donor. Over $10 million. He gave $40 million to Harvard. Well, okay, what is Harvard? Harvard is essentially a Jewish-run cesspool that is committed to destroying the native freedoms of the United States people. When you hear a lot of this information about how it is anti-Semitic to criticize Israel, which is another way of saying it's anti-Semitic to not give all of your resources to the state of Israel and the Jewish people. Well, that's being made possible by money that comes from the people of Walid bin Talal. He's the one that's donating this money. When you look at the George Soros type of NGOs for social change and people like that, well, that's coming from people like Dabag, Amr Dabag, who set up, again, the philanthropy university at Cal State University or University of California, Berkeley. So, guys, there's a lot of stuff going on here that is way beyond the vision of people like me. And I've got really good vision, and I can kind of see what's going on by just the ancillary information that I have. But folks, to think that for a second that I can see all of what's going on here, even though I am here, no, I cannot. There's a lot of problems. There is what appears to be a lot of brashness to this move relative to Saudi. There is a lot of popularity on the streets here in Saudi. Again, I will tell you, the people, they support the moves that are going on here in Saudi Arabia, and a lot of people are saying it's too little, too late. Even people in the business community, everybody, I'm talking about people in the business community, are supporting what is going on here in Saudi. So it's a unique story. It's Fetch. It's IBI Live Primetime, everybody. Back with more right after this. It is the Fetch inside the ILI prime time. Today's day, what is November 16th, is it? 2017. It's already, obviously it's Saturday. It's not Saturday. It's Friday here in Riyadh already. It's 2:33 in the morning, here in Riyadh. I think the weather temperature wise about 62 degrees right now, which is very comfortable. Quite frankly, I have now moved to a new hotel. Just actually kind of like next door to where I was. So it's been a not a bad move. The real estate here is actually pretty darn good, but there's just no internet in the building whatsoever. There is some internet, I guess you could call it, down in the lobby. So I have had to go buy a little bit of extra bandwidth and make sure that this is of a high quality and put it on my cell phone, which is a high quality cell phone, to act as a router, so that I could then connect my laptops and try to run out through 4G here at 3 in the morning, 2:30 in the morning. But it seems like we're doing okay, everybody. I haven't heard any complaints yet about the quality. I know a lot of you guys have missed me. Thank you so much. Really, I got so many emails. I was really surprised how many emails I really got asking, "Hey, Fetch, are you okay? Is thing all right? Is everything okay?" It was, but it wasn't. Quite frankly, so we are just really tonight, just getting back into the swing of things. So it's going to take me a little bit of effort to really get things back like before. But nonetheless, we're back, and we hope to obviously continue on forward from here. I'll tell you what, though, the change in the time in Saudi Arabia to Jordan, not to Jordan, but Saudi Arabia and the United States, everything got pushed back an hour. You guys have changed your time. We don't change the time here. So instead of going live and ending at 3 o'clock, it's now a 2 to 4 o'clock, show time for me locally. And that's a little bit more challenging, to say the least, but nonetheless, we're here and we will be back live Saturday again for the flagship show at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern to 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern. And so you definitely want to stay tuned for that. If you haven't ever tuned into an Inside the Eye Live show on Saturday, well, heck, you got to do that, because that's kind of why we're here on Thursday, because we were asked to expand the show, to put in more time here. So we're doing that for everybody. So there we go. It is listener-sponsored and supported radio. And that means it relies upon your donations to help keep the network alive, up and running. And so we do ask always that you keep us in mind when you are out there supporting your favorite charities. And that includes your favorite radio station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So make a donation on behalf of Inside the Eye Live, because without Inside the Eye Live, obviously you're not going to get all those cool little insights that only Inside the Eye Live can bring. And we like to do that always through a station. We don't want to be doing podcasts too much. Not that we can't. It just, we like to be live. We like that pressure of coming live. And we know a lot of you prefer, quite frankly, to have a live show. So again, if you do like that live show, do your best to help keep the network alive equally by supporting the station. And that, of course, helps keep the bandwidth and everything operating at the station. Now, the Cat Report, it is proudly sponsored by North Kakalaki Trading Post. Good services and solutions for all things great and small. It's inconveniently located at the corner of Walk and Don't Walk, and by Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club, a radio show hosted by Blackbird Nine, a.k.a. Frederick C. Blackburn. Frederick is an NSA whistleblower, 9/11 truth advocate, former 32-degree Mason, and a former North Carolina House candidate. And you can hear Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club every Wednesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. on Spreaker. And for more information, visit BlackbirdNineTradingPost.org. That's BlackbirdNineTradingPost.org. Not a whole lot to report on the Cat Report, simply because I've been kind of out and about and busy. But we do have a few things to report. For whatever reason, locally, the cats have disappeared. You know, we had the mother cat with her four kittens. I haven't seen her for like 3 days. I went out to feed them a few days ago. She came running from who knows where. She must have seen me, so she came running. But we've been feeding a lot of the cats here. There are quite a lot of cats, but I haven't seen anything for the last 2 days, quite frankly. So it's been very, very quiet locally. But in Jordan, of course, where I got my two, Bruiser, my blind buddy, and then One-Eye, my one-eyed big male. One-Eye, he's been out and about. He's been doing a lot of fighting lately. I guess he's got to control his territory. So he's been out doing a lot of fighting, from what I understand. Yesterday was a fight day in Jordan. He was out fighting all the other cats yesterday. I don't know why he does that. It's just like, dude, come on, just let people be. But he doesn't do that. He likes to go around and fight everybody. And, of course, today was shower day. That's right. Every Wednesday is shower day in Jordan for Bruiser. And Bruiser's kind of a long-haired orange cat, and he's blind, so he has a difficult time keeping himself clean. So every morning on a Wednesday, he knows the schedule now, if you can imagine this poor guy. First thing he does on a Wednesday morning is he goes bolts outside into the back of the house where we've got a balcony, and he shoots up the stairs, and he goes and hides on the roof because he knows Wednesday is bath day. So I called home this morning by 10 o'clock, and he'd already had his bath. You know, he couldn't escape today. So he was soaking wet. It's kind of cool in Jordan now, so they're going to have to start blow-drying him pretty soon. But he was just soaking wet, and it's been really weird. You know, some of the pictures I see of Bruiser coming in, he looks almost like a raccoon. The shades of his fur and the way he looks like a raccoon. I'm like, dude, what is going on over there? But anyways, it's kind of cool to see this guy. I can't wait to get home and see my cats. It's been a while now. And One-Eye, they sent me pictures of, this is kind of disgusting, but One-Eye threw up all over my house today. And I said, what happened? What did he do? He said he ate too much. He ate all the Bruiser's food plus his own food, and then he can't keep it down anymore. So my poor cat, he's throwing up all over my house because he's just a pig. It's like, dude, come on, you don't need to eat so much. But that's kind of the cat report. Kind of a little quiet. It's been kind of cool here locally. Again, you hear a lot of screaming, a lot of cats screaming, a lot of meowing. So there's a lot of kittens around. I don't know why I can't find them, but you can hear them because I keep my windows open now. The weather is so nice, I keep the windows open. But you can hear all the kittens outside. It's like, wow, there are just so many cats out there, but I don't see them. And you would think you would. It's like the desert here. It's not like they have a lot of places to hide. But I haven't seen them. But I hear them. They're out there. Anyways, that's the Cat Report, everybody. It's proudly sponsored by North Cackalacky Trading Post, good services and solutions for all things great and small. Again, it's inconveniently located at the corner of Walk and Don't Walk and by Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club, a radio show hosted by Blackbird Nine, a.k.a. Frederick C. Blackburn. Again, Frederick is an NSA whistleblower, 9/11 truth advocate, and a former North Carolina House candidate, among other things. And you can hear Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club again every Wednesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. on Spreaker. And for more information, visit BlackbirdNineTradingPost.org. That's BlackbirdNineTradingPost.org. And that will, of course, get you one of the better shows out there. I think Frederick, from what I hear, is, again, we all do our own thing, and I know Frederick's a great supporter of this show, but from what I'm hearing in the comment sections, Frederick's got a great show now going. Of course, he does have a good show. He's kind of like in the mold of the fetch here, guys, so it's going to be a good show. But, guys, give him a listen. Again, that's Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club. And, again, check it out on BlackbirdNineTradingPost.org. That's BlackbirdNineTradingPost.org. You know, with this new denture darn thing, I just put it in a few hours ago. I haven't really gotten used to using it yet. It's hard to talk. It's really, really hard to talk, but that's the way it goes sometimes. And so let's start now for that new fan-filled segment here.
Oy vey. Oy gewalt. It's like another shower.
Oy vey.
Oy vey.
Oy vey, everybody.
Hollywood is run by Jews. It's owned by Jews. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on Boyum Tears.
Oy vey!
Ove, everybody!
The Oy Vey Moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored is now available from Barnes Review at barnesreview.org. Order your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams every Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. To listen, simply visit eurofolkradio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live Now link, or visit andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media.
All right, everybody. And just a few things about the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show we want to add, because I just got everything fixed today, Andy, so be patient. I know we've been sending information back and forth. But what's happened here is the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show has really been expanding now. And what it's going to be doing is it's going to be working every day. That's right. A new show every day of the year at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. That is 3 o'clock p.m. UK time. You can listen live on eurofolkradio.com. That's right. Listen live at eurofolkradio.com at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern every day now. And, of course, all the full show archives are available at andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com. That's andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com. So we're going to be trying to record something new about all of that, but we just got things kind of fixed just a few hours ago, and I got to kind of like get used to working with this darn thing. So just hang in there, everybody. But, guys, again, a new show every day of the year at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern, 3 o'clock p.m. UK time. That's the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, and you can listen live at eurofolkradio.com. This week's the Oy Vey Moment is brought to you by the recent events in Poland. Now, if you recall, last week, November the 11th, was Polish National Day. And, of course, it's a very patriotic day, as you can imagine. So the Poles were out there in force, and they were marching through the streets. And as we like to do in the West, which a lot of people don't seem to grasp so much, but we Westerners, we kind of like our torchlights. We like that type of parade. And, of course, we live in a climate, in a climate, where the nights are long and the days can be very short. And so lightening up the nighttime sky with torches, it's just kind of like a common sense thing to do. Now, if you're Jewish or within the Jewish community, this is seen as a threat to you because you're a primitive culture. You're not used to actually having to think outside of the box other than how can we steal from the cultures that we live among. They're not really building their own societies per se. So they get like spooked by all of this light and pageantry. Oh, it's going to be another Holocaust. But, you know, we had tens of thousands of Polish nationalists. And why not? It's their country, after all. They were demonstrating, marching in the streets of Warsaw. And, again, police estimated upwards of 60,000. Others put it over at 100. But, you know, the Jewish media, they had to play it up into other things. They had to put it into a racial overtones. Like, they had to highlight things like, pure Poland, white Poland, and refugees get out. Well, I'll tell you what. Here in Saudi Arabia, everybody, I'll be honest. Where's my phone? I can get my phone right here, right now, and I can open it up, and I can go to the text. I'll do that right now. Right now. Text. Text. And go here. And messages. Messaging. GDP, which is the Internal Security Department, the Ministry of Interior, represented in all of its security sectors and with participation of all concerned governmental departments, start implementing the field and inspection plan for Homeland Without Illegal Expatriates campaign on 26-2-1439. That would be the local calendar time, or November the 15th. See? That is a text that goes out to every single phone in the kingdom saying, basically, look, we want to get all illegal expatriates out of the country. That's normal here in Saudi Arabia, everybody. So if you have Jews trying to tell you, I swear, Jews are trying to tell you that because a people want the expatriates or the immigrants out of their country, well, what's wrong with that? That's normal. That is absolutely normal. You should view the Jewish community. You should view those who are against cleaning up illegal immigration as being essentially a traitor to you and your people. You shouldn't allow them to sit there and make it sound as if you're the bad guy because you want to get immigrants. Look, I get this all the time in Saudi Arabia. All the time. You get the Internal Security Department, the Ministry of the Interior, sends you things saying, look, if you're illegal in the country, you can leave tomorrow and we won't hold it against you and you can come back. But if we catch you, you're not going to be able to come back. That's how it works in Saudi Arabia. Why is it then such a bad thing for people to say, look, get the illegal immigrants out of your countries in the West? Why is it such a bad thing? But you're looking at a case now where the EU, that's right, oy vey, you know, the EU wants to strip Poland of voting powers because they dare want to protect their borders. They dare want to protect their culture. They dare want to protect their own people. At what point do we finally admit that those who are pushing for mass immigration first should be driven out of power, but two, maybe tried for treason? I don't have a problem with it anymore, because if you are sitting there, for instance, let me see here. Let me first wrap this up. Again, we had all of this going on inside of Poland, you know, but you had Tusk. Tusk is, I think, the president of the EU, something like that. He appears and he says that Warsaw is increasingly at odds with Brussels because of the government's controversial interference in the courts, large-scale logging of the primeval forest. Well, okay, that's their right, I guess. And refusal to accept migrants. Well, Tusk, it's not your business. See, that's the whole point. The EU is a bankrupt function. It's a bankrupt operation here. At what point in time, really, folks, do you start to look at those who are pushing for mass immigration, mass migration, as traitors, even to the point of sedition? And that includes you start doing what you do to those who are traitors to your people. There was a situation in Sweden. And, of course, in Sweden, it's a basket case. Jews have so destroyed Sweden that you can't even recognize it as Sweden in certain parts of the country now. It's beyond recognition. It doesn't look like Sweden anymore. It's almost like going to Minneapolis, Minnesota, and what used to be a nice, beautiful Nordic town has become Somalia, little Somalia. There's no reason to be importing all these people. They're not going to ever help you. One stretch of the imagination, they will never help your country. Just like in Saudi, they want to get people out. There's no reason why we should not be trying to get people out of our countries. But you have all of this raping going on inside of Sweden. And literally some clown loser, and it is so frustrating, but this clown loser with the police said it's not the migrants who are doing the raping, it's men who are doing the raping. So that means that the women of Sweden have zero protection from their police. Their men, meaning Swedish women's men, are being charged as being just as guilty as raping as are all of these migrants coming in. And the governments are doing absolutely nothing to stop it. Now, if you don't see that this is some type of war against the civilization that we know as the West, then I don't know what you're missing anymore. It's become painfully obvious exactly what is going on here. And really, the people need to start looking at cases of sedition and government negligence against those who are bringing about these conditions. It's not for politicians to destroy the homelands under which or over which they are ruling. You know, I see the corruption stuff going on here in Saudi Arabia. And I see the Ministry of Interior sending me these various messages. A country without illegal immigration. What's wrong with that? Honestly, what is wrong with that? That is normal. That is natural. But folks, that is the Oy Vey moment. It is essentially the fact that here is the EU. They are telling the Prime Minister of Poland and the government of Poland that they should be condemning a nationalist rally held on a national day, a national holiday, the National Day of Poland for that matter, and telling the people of Poland that they don't have a right to march on their own interests. They don't have a right to their own self-determination. And that, folks, is criminal. You know, when you start to hear things about how anti-Semitism is denying Jews the right to their own self-determination, that is actually a categorization in Jewish logic now of what is and is not anti-Semitic. You know, here you've got 60,000 people marching for their own self-interest, and Jews want to deny them the right to that self-interest. Isn't that interesting? That, folks, is hypocrisy beyond nauseating. It disgusts me, I'll be honest. It's gotten to the point now where the Jewish community and all of its whining and crying and demands of denying people the right to speak and denying people the right to their own voice, all while they're saying, well, you're denying Jews their right to their own self-determination. It just nauseates me now. It disgusts me. They've gotten to the point now where they're no longer even rational adults here. These are a bunch of, you want to be polite because we're in prime time right now. But guys, this is not how you handle a political world upon which we live in. Look, everybody, if you're going to say everybody has a right to self-determination, and that includes people in the Jewish community, well, it's about time the Jewish community starts to give back. Otherwise, hey, you're not compatible. And then it does come down to some type of war between the people. And it's not like you haven't, meaning the Jewish community, it's not like you guys haven't been thrown out a few hundred times. Somebody once sent me a list 359 times instead of 109. I guess if they can get thrown out of America, we'll complete the circle. Is that what they want? It's really a strange world out there. I got to admit, it's all very, very, very strange. All right. I haven't said this yet, but you can join us in the chat room, InsideTheEyeLive.com. That's right, InsideTheEyeLive.com. Click on the live chat button. That will get you in the door there. I'm not sure how many people are actually there. Let me go take a look. I haven't really noticed. But anyways, InsideTheEyeLive.com, everybody. Click on the live chat button. And it's not bad. Proud today. All right. We'll be back hour number two right after this, Inside the LI Primetime, intelligent media for the politically aware. All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the LI Primetime, November 16th, 2017. Local time again, locally here in Riyadh, 3:04 in the morning, man. It's early. But nonetheless, good Thursday evening now to all of you listening, I guess, in the United States. It's not really evening, I guess, is it? It's afternoon to those of you on the West Coast, and it's evening to those of you on the East Coast. And, of course, to those of you listening now in European time zones, it's early morning for you equally. I think everywhere in Europe now it's early morning, at least midnight now. I think you're 3 hours different from Riyadh at the best location, which would be in the London area. So, guys, welcome again. Hope you're having a great Thursday. Early Friday now for those of us in the already on the other side of the time zone, or we're really not on the other side of the time zone, folks. But anyways, guys, welcome. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live Primetime. You know, it's been again a couple weeks now since I've been gone. I miss three shows basically. I miss two Thursdays and maybe one Saturday or two Saturdays, maybe two Saturdays. Yeah, I think I missed two Saturdays. I think I missed four shows, everybody. That's an eternity to those of you who like to listen to The Fetch. I'm sure. I'm pretty sure. It was nice. Not really. I was sick as a dog last week. It wasn't very good last week, folks. I'm back. I just got to get used to this new little device here that I'm working, this new piece of hardware, and hopefully I'll get my tongue and everything adjusted fine and I can talk a little bit smoother. I feel a little bit strange trying to talk through this thing. But anyways, I think we're going to be fine. Just give it a little. It's only just a couple hours, man. I haven't even practiced my T's and C's or anything like that yet. I got to practice all my sounds again. You know, it's interesting. There's going to be a convention here in Saudi Arabia, and it's going to deal with something like it's an international forum on blended learning at the senior education college level. And it deals with essentially online plus face-to-face type of learning. It's being headed up by people that I know, and they've asked me to come in and basically act as a video host where I'll be asking questions like I'm the news director. So, folks, look for that. I'm going to be actually doing some video here in Saudi Arabia. I picked up that account recently, that project. Actually, I picked it up today. They just emailed the questions to me a few hours ago. So yours truly will be doing some video locally here in Saudi Arabia. They asked me to do it. They said, you know, we would like you to come because we don't want to have to spend a lot of time. We know you're a professional and that you could just be able to ask the questions and move right along. So I got to put on my suit and look impressive and talk like I know what I'm talking about. But guys, that's going to be kind of fun. I'm looking forward to doing that. So that'll be kind of cool. Join me in the chat room, InsideTheEyeLive.com. That's right, InsideTheEyeLive.com. Click on the live chat button. Again, we're about 13 strong now. That's actually pretty good for a Thursday, not a Saturday. As you guys know, we got this place humming pretty good on a Saturday. In the chat room, Zap Hopper, no, I did not have any technical issues today. Everything went along just fine and smooth. And so I don't know why you would be doing Fetzer over the Fetch on a primetime show when I just came back. But you know what? We're back. And so we'll try to have to get that 20 minutes because, no, there was no technical issues today. There's the war against people. You know, I get a kick out of places like Twitter, you know, over the last year and a half, 2 years now, you have a lot of people out there saying the Saudis own Twitter, the Saudis own Twitter, the Saudis own Twitter. You know, a lot of people out there, they want to go after and blame the Saudis. Now, there's a lot wrong with Saudi culture, but there's a lot wrong with every culture. There's a lot wrong all over the world. Come on, look at what's going on inside of the UK, for instance, or what's going on inside of Sweden or Germany or the United States. There's a lot wrong in a lot of places out there. But it's always very annoying to me to hear people say, it's the Saudis, they own Twitter, and they're saying this. Folks, it wasn't the Saudis that owned Twitter. You know who owned Twitter? Prince Waleed bin Talal, the guy that's now being arrested here in Saudi Arabia. That's who owned Twitter. Not the Saudis. It was Prince Waleed bin Talal. That's who owned Twitter. And now Twitter has changed their rules. That's right. They're changing rules. You could always get what was known as a blue check. And that blue check was to mean like you're, quote unquote, you're verified, see. But now Twitter, because of the Jewish community, once again, it's always the Jewish community. Don't ask me why, but it is the Jewish community, has been complaining about that little blue check mark next to your Twitter handle. And that Twitter handle with a blue check mark used to say that you were verified. But you know what? Now, if Jews tell Twitter that you are, quote unquote, a white nationalist, well, guess what? You will lose your blue check mark. If you're worse, a white supremacist, whatever that means, you're going to lose your blue check mark. So now what Twitter is doing is they're going after nationalist accounts in the United States and in Europe, actually, probably globally. It's a global network. And they are going after literally those who have these blue check marks if they do not support and essentially say that Jews are the primary people of the planet and that they're the only ones that should be worshipped and everybody else is not important. See, if you don't have that attitude, you're going to lose your blue check mark, essentially. By the way, I heard that Snippets in the chat room, everybody. Snippets is like this darling lady. She's so nice, so soft, so sweet, right? Right, Snips? You're just like a fantastic young lady. I know that. And she's been banned from Twitter. Can you believe Snippets has gotten banned from Twitter of all people? I can imagine the Fetch getting banned from Twitter. I've been banned from Twitter already. But Snippets getting banned from Twitter? Oh, my gosh. That sounds like an unheard of, an absolute unheard of thought out there for to see Snippets getting banned from Twitter. Sorry to hear that, Snips. You know, you have to figure out a way to get back on there. But nonetheless, if you had that blue check mark, everybody, you're going to have your verified status revoked. Again, if you have not signed a Pledge of Allegiance to the State of Israel, and no, it's not. That's really not what's happening. But nonetheless, you are going to be losing that blue check mark, everybody. And that's just the way it goes. So that's it. I don't know if you heard about the UK. The UK is one of those basket cases. Interesting picture I saw the other day. There was like a city, I don't know if it was Birmingham or some city out there, and it was just filled with soldiers. And this picture was taken in the 1940s, 1941, 1942. And it was filled with men dressed in, of course, their uniforms, military uniforms, holding their rifles with full backpacks so they could march off into battle. And that was 1942. And then now you look at a picture of the same area, the exact same area, 2017, and it's filled with Muslims literally taking up the entire area praying on a Friday. And it's like, okay, well, what did you fight for? If you were fighting against an invasion, well, you've been invaded and you've lost. But that's the problem with these governments, folks. You know, I've come to the conclusion relative to Western civilization that this power, this overriding power above the human side of it, you know, you can call it Satan if you want to, which I don't care what you want to call it, but as it manifests through Jewish ideology, of course. That's like the main ideology through which it manifests. They have always needed Western men and Western society to fight their wars for them. That's what they've needed. In order to create their world government, their world order, they needed that Western mentality to do all the dirty work for them. And then once they accomplished whatever it is they felt they've accomplished, they've always hated Western mankind, always hated Westerners. They've now decided to once and for all destroy the West through mass immigration, laws that stifle the spiritual productivity of the West. And their goal really probably is the eradication of Western civilization within as short a period as possible. It's not unusual for us to hear them bragging that, you know, by 2030, Britain's no longer going to be a majority British country. You know, the propaganda in Germany right now where it shows some guy from Syria that says, I'm a German, and some guy from Nigeria says, I'm a German, and some guy from somewhere else that says, I'm a German. Guys, this is such nasty, evil propaganda against the German people that, again, those in the media, those in the advertising community that are behind this, guys, these are literal combatants against the German people. Now, they're not using a gun. They're not using knives per se. But they are using a weapon for sure. The pen, which is, they say, is more powerful than the sword. See, these folks, everybody, are enemies of the West. They are enemies of the German people. A fire needs to rise in the West if the West is going to save itself. See, Trump has talked about this. Other politicians, UKIP, Nigel Farage, others are talking about it. But it's so difficult to talk about it because the enemies arrayed against the people of the West are everywhere. Now, gee, if you're a white supremacist, whatever that even means, you'll lose your verification status. So guess who's going to be verified on Twitter? Pedophiles, Jews, those who support the LGBT community, which means degenerates. Essentially, we've gotten ourselves into this bizarre situation right now where the only people of value that even matter relative to the social construction of the media, or as it's presented in the media, are the degenerates, the pedophiles, Jewish people. And when we say degenerates, we're talking about the militant LGBTQ, whatever other transgender they even want to talk about. I don't know if you heard the story coming out of Chicago, or maybe it was the UK. I don't know where it was. I think it was actually the UK. And some girl didn't want to be called a girl. She wanted to be called some other gender. Who knows what that gender is. And the guy didn't call her whatever the gender was. He was suspended, and now he's going to be losing his job because he had the audacity to call a woman, a young girl, a young lady when she wanted to be called something else. And because she wanted to be called something else, he's going to lose his job. See, we've gotten to the point now where it's a little bit difficult to argue that we are not coddling the mass delusions, the mass psychosis, the mass mental health issues of the lesbian, gay, transgender community. We have coddled this group so much that they are now imposing themselves to the point to where not even an ounce of common sense is left. And if you don't follow the fact that there is no common sense and you just don't do whatever their whims are that day, you can find yourself out of a job. Now, how is that not tyranny? How is that not a situation where your rights are not being taken away, even as they say they need special rights to protect their interests? That's kind of how it's working, everybody. You lose your rights. You lose your ability to function as a normal, rational human being out there, while the lesbian, gay, transgender, degenerate society out there determines for you what it is you have to abide by. And if they tell you today that they are a Zyklon B, I can't even be that quick and stupid if I tried, I couldn't be that stupid that quick if I tried, put it that way. But yeah, whatever gender that they want to throw at you at that point in time, and if you don't use it, you're going to lose your job. Guys, that's pretty darn diabolical. That's pretty darn disgusting, quite frankly. Oh, I'll tell you, I don't know about the UK. I got a lot of friends in the UK. I wouldn't say I got a lot of friends, but I got a lot of listeners in the UK, and I guess my listeners are my friends. And obviously the UK is occupied territory. It's occupied by Jewish people. It's run by and for Jewish people, essentially. It's run by this transgender cult out there, this lesbian, gay, transgender cult that's out there. But you've just had a situation now where they've been trying to Brexit, you know, they keep talking about Brexit, British exit from the EU, and they just keep delaying and delaying and delaying and delaying. Well, 40 MPs, apparently, 40 Tory MPs, that's a member of parliament, for those of you not familiar with the UK, they have said that they're about ready to put their names to a letter that would trigger a vote of no confidence in the Conservative leadership. Now, she has been disastrous, that is Theresa May, no doubt about it. She gave a speech where said to be about 35 names on this list, but that number has increased after the party was hit by a number of different scandals recently. The prime minister said two cabinet ministers, Michael Fallon and Priti Patel, resigned in a week. I don't know if you're that Priti Patel, but Priti Patel is one of these people that's not British. Obviously, Patel is Indian, so it's not a British person. Why that person was allowed to be in the government inside of the UK is beyond me. They were not British. But nonetheless, they were somewhat, I guess, compromised, a little bit compromised, found to be essentially doing the bidding of the Israeli government. And of course, you know, we hear a lot about Russia, 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 but the real secret is Jewish domination. That's the real thing that we all should be focusing on. So you've got the Westminster sex scandal going on, Boris Johnson's comments on Nazanin, Zachariah Ratcliffe, you've got all this Brexit going on. So it's led, again, these 40 MPs to secretly sign, that's right, secretly sign the no confidence letter, according to the Sunday Times. So it'd be interesting. I'd like to see the Theresa May out. She is not elected. She was essentially handed her job. She was never, should never have been given the job. She's incompetent. She's an idiot, as most politicians nowadays, quite frankly. But, you know, patients should be wearing thin in the UK. The UK is in a very bad situation. They are losing, obviously, their territory, their sovereignty, to the Jewish dominated, what do you want to call it? This Jewish dominated migrant, immigrant, mass migration, agenda that's been going on in the UK. So, again, I'd like to see Theresa May, be kicked out, and it's necessary. See here, it's returned back to where we started the show. And that is this idea of arresting corruption. You know, they're saying here in certain circles, especially the United States State Department, certain circles within the U.S. State Department, that Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince here, is very calculating. That's one. He's been called calculating, but reckless. That's the term I'm hearing a lot lately starting to float. This guy's reckless. He's reckless. He's reckless. Okay, fine. If you want to say so, okay, fine. But let me ask you something. When was the last time you saw mass arrests of corruption in the United States? When's the last time we saw mass arrests of corruption inside the UK? Or how about Germany? When have we seen any mass arrests for any corruption in a society dominated by Jewish political power? Have you ever seen it? See, you've never seen it because Jewish political power relies upon corruption. You don't think they're getting all that money because they're smart, do you? If you do, you got something to, you need to go back to school. Look, folks, they're doing it because they're stealing all the money left and right. What do you think TARP was? What do you think the bailout of the 2008 financial crisis was? This was essentially the largest wealth transfer in the history of mankind. And it didn't go to you and your friends. It went to Jews and their friends. Where's the arrests? You know, when we had the savings and loan crisis going back in the 1980s during the Reagan administration, we had at least hundreds of bankers doing prison time. How many bankers really did prison during the 2008 financial meltdown? What, one, maybe two? Most of them, nothing, just pay a couple fines, which they had already made hand over foot 15 times over already. So where are the arrests in the West? Why is it we don't see our governments in the West able to go after the corruption within the government itself? So many false flags in the United States. Las Vegas. Oh yeah, they're backtracking so fast on Las Vegas, they don't even know what to do. But you know what? We don't see any arrests of government officials involved. We don't see any arrests of FBI agents. We don't see any arrests within the CIA. We don't see any arrests within the local authorities. We don't see any arrests within the newspapers who spread the false stories. We don't see any arrests whatsoever in the West. You know, we have the Jewish community, especially within the neocon community, lied through their teeth to sell the American people on a war against Iraq that was 100% based on falsehoods, lies. It has cost families in the United States, loved ones. It has cost millions of Iraqis their loved ones. Where are the arrests? See, why is it that I go and I travel around and I spend time overseas and I hear all this negative stuff about all these different countries from all these quote-unquote patriots in the West? Yet I don't see them complaining about the fact that there's nothing going on in their own countries to clean it up. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live Prime Time. Back with more, everybody, right after this. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live Prime Time. Again, November the 16th, 2017. Good Thursday afternoon, good Thursday evening, everybody. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you're enjoying the show. It's been a while since I've been on the air, man. I've been doing radio for how long now, guys? Podcasts and radio since 2009, believe it or not. I did my first podcast, I think, in 2009, something like that. Boy, I've been doing a voice for a long, long, long time, and I don't know. Long time. You know, I don't know if you saw California, if you're familiar with California. I love California. When I was growing up, great place to live. We had a great industry, a lot of aerospace back then. I used to visit all over. I've been to Jet Propulsion Laboratory, not once, not twice. Many times I've been to Jet Propulsion Laboratory up there in Pasadena and checked out and saw what was going on with some of the satellites we were making back in the 70s and 80s. Actually, 80s and 90s, I should say, not 70s. But I enjoyed it. I used to go to metal spinning houses, and where I would see, like, probes, how they made the probes that would go into various atmospheres, like Mars. At least that's what they would claim anyways. And so I would see all kinds of cool stuff back then. I remember even getting golf clubs. That's right, golf heads, really, not the clubs. But, yeah, the clubs. Getting them actually heat-treated to a particular specification in the aerospace industry, because I wanted this cool black gunboat black hardened steel for my golf clubs. And you buy the clubs, you had them hardened, you made a heck of a nice club back then. So I remember it was a great place to be. I remember taking my bike. Honestly, took my bike all the way on a train. That's right. Took the train up to Santa Barbara. And then I rode my bicycle all the way down to San Diego. And then I took the train back up to L.A. And that was kind of like spent a week doing that. So, guys, I had a lot of time, a lot of great time in L.A. Played a lot of baseball in Los Angeles. Watched the Kings go way back, you know. Remember sitting in L.A. back with my transistor radio, man. That was right. We had transistor radios back then, and I could pick up Boise, Idaho. That's right. I thought that was the coolest thing, to be sitting in my room as a kid listening to the radio from Boise, Idaho. And I thought, wow, that is the coolest thing. But that's the wonder of what it was like years and years and years ago as we were growing up as kids. And, of course, we saw the entire change in the technology, you know, from the – I remember going from, you know, telex machines to fax modems. Boy, that was great stuff, didn't it? Boy, email, boy. I've seen the whole thing from cell phones. I've seen it all because I was there before the computers. But I was young enough to remember the computers. I was actually selling the first TRS-80. So, guys, I had a lot of great time back in L.A. And I remember a lot of great stuff in L.A. And that was before it became so corrupted, I guess, and filled and overflowing and so leftist and communist. And you could see the changes coming to California when Arnold Schwarzenegger was going to become the governor of California. And he was out hobnobbing with all of these bonds buyers and bonds, people that invest in bonds. And you knew that once Schwarzenegger got into power in California, he was going to essentially destroy that state by impoverishing it, by taking in all of these public bonds and encumbering the people of California to these bankers back then. You know, so we saw all of these various changes going on in the state of California. A lot of us Californians have left California. The Texans hate us because so many Californians moved to Texas. Seattle, I remember they used to hate Californians because a lot of wealth went up to Seattle. I know Oregon, they kind of hated us. A lot of Californians moved up into California. But now we're in a situation now where do you go? You know, where do you go? The governments, they just seem to want to tax and spend and create all of these insane laws. And one of the insane laws in California is that you can have sex with women, young girls under 18, and you won't get arrested anymore because you can't arrest someone that's having sex with a minor. They basically legalized prostitution in California with a minor. Well, that now is under discussion in France, where they've recently had a lot of problems with their Muslim population having sex with people under the age of 16 or whatever the case might be of majority there. And so France is now considering lowering the age of consent to 11. That's right. France is considering to lowering the age of consent to 11. And that is, of course, so they can eliminate sexual coercion because, you know, if it's legal for an 11-year-old girl to have sex now, you're not going to be coercing her anymore because she's old enough. She's going to be 11 years old. See, that, again, is where we're at today. You know, you can believe in your people. You can believe in raising up the value of the human family. You can believe in putting forward a better idea for your society and your community. But not that's not important anymore. Having sex with 11-year-olds is important. And in my opinion, just as I see Saudi Arabia right now arresting all of these corrupt people, and believe me, there is so much support for that here on the streets here in Saudi Arabia, we need to be doing the exact same thing in our countries. When Donald Trump talks about going after the child trafficking and the pedophilia rings, they need to go after the people behind these laws. They need to track these SOBs down and take them out. Understand, America, not really America, but humanity itself, is at war with this very negative, evil creation out there that, of course, must manifest through people. And where it's manifesting is, unfortunately for those of you who don't like it, but it's manifesting in the Jewish community and in the LGBTQ community. Then, in order to fight back the common sense, to fight back the reason, the logic of the West, we are having to deal with mass immigration and the use of the militant wings of the African communities within our midst to assault and to attack and to create problems. We must start to examine crime rates. You know, they talk about how there's an increase in anti-Semitism in America right now. One organization says we have 530 an increase of 530 anti-Semitic incidents. And you know what's an anti-Semitic incident? Somebody voted against BDS or voted for BDS. They said, you know what, we don't want to be supporting the mass criminal aspects of the Jewish community vis-a-vis Israel. And so we don't want to be voting, we don't want to be using our money to support these criminal Jews over in Israel, which are largely just Americans anyways, folks, okay? They're just Americans. And that's considered an anti-Semitic incident. Yet you can have black-on-white crime, which is well-documented out there, daily. You can have migrant-on-citizen crime out there, which is documented daily. And it's not just one a day, folks. It's multiple times a day. Times how many days in a year? See, the crimes being committed against the people of the United States. And of course, by default, that's going to be largely the European Americans because they are the largest demographic in America. That is vastly outnumbers anything that Jews want to throw in our faces. So we should be asking the Jewish community, what are you doing to stop the crimes against European Americans today? You want us to always be kowtowing to you and being afraid to talk to you and being afraid to say anything against the Jewish community. But what is the Jewish community doing today to stop crimes against European Americans today? When is the last time we saw a Jewish professor lose their job because they're calling for the genocide of people of European American heritage? The SPLC, they have a hit list of over 1,500. That's right, 1,500 monuments dedicated to Western European civilization in America. And let's be honest, folks, America, the idea was created by Western Europeans. But no, what do we got to look at nowadays? Let's lower the consent for sex for 11-year-olds. Because you know what? We're a Jewish-run community. We're a Jewish-run community. Oh, let's see here. Chat room's still open, guys. InsideTheEyeLive.com, InsideTheEyeLive.com. Click on the live chat button, and that will get you in the door. So give us a look there. You know, Twitter, again, they've been pulling the verified accounts, and they pulled a guy by the name of Richard Spencer. Again, he had a verified badge. Verified just means that, verified. It's a blue check mark. But essentially, unless you're Jewish or you're gay or transgender, you're not going to be able to get a verified badge. Basically, Twitter is saying we belong only to degenerates and Jews, essentially. I think that's what they're trying to say. You know, going back to international business here or international news here in Saudi Arabia, maybe this will be the final story. I don't think so. I'll get one more story in. But, you know, Saudi Arabia has ordered a complete blockade now of Yemen. And, of course, it's turning into a very nasty, what do you call this, a very nasty humanitarian crisis. And there's a lot of anger right now towards certain elements of the Saudi government, primarily the Crown Prince, quite honestly, because of the way it's being handled here. See, you should not think that what's going on in Yemen is monolithically supported by Saudi Arabia and its elites. It's not. It really isn't. Any more than we were supporting as American elites the Jewish rape and pillage and destruction of Iraq. We weren't supporting that. But see, there's elements of the government that control, obviously, the purse strings, the police, the military. They do what they want to do, and there's not a whole lot we can stop it. Not a whole lot we can do to stop it, I should say. And the reason why they did that is they're claiming, again, that Iran is supplying the Houthis with missiles. So they want to blockade the entire landmass of Yemen. You know, by the way, I was here in Saudi. We had just moved. The night that I moved was supposed to be the night that the Houthis were able to get a missile to Riyadh Airport. Now, I'm in the flight path of where that missile purportedly went. I will not verify anything. But I talked to some people, and they said, you know what, Dennis, we heard the missile last night. We heard the explosions. The house shook, and we were scared. Da, 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 da. And they said, well, what did you think? And I said, you know what, honestly, what I thought? I said, you know what, I'm from California. I've lived through a lot of earthquakes in my life, and this one didn't even register. I'm sorry, but it didn't even register. It didn't shake the house enough. It wasn't even like an earthquake. I'm much more worried about an earthquake than I would be about a missile hitting me, quite frankly. So I said, I don't even know anything about it. Didn't matter, didn't care. It's not my business. The government's doing its job, and no reason for them to be afraid. Well, you're not afraid? For what? I told you, I've been living through earthquakes. So, yeah, I didn't hear that missile. I kind of missed that darn thing. So it's been very crazy. Very crazy out there. I'll tell you. Guys, if you want to start to solve reality, you got to start to peer into who creates things. Who invented communism? It wasn't the Chinese. It was Jewish people. Who invented the word Nazi? That's right. Who invented the word Nazi? Well, guess what? That's an invented word that says Nazi, and that was created by Jewish people. Who invented the word racist? Oh, that's right. That was something that was created by Jewish people. Who started abortion in the West? Well, that's actually been going around longer than just Jews. Who put the American destroying poem? I'm not sure what that is, but who hates borders of all but just one country? See, the problems that the West faces today really come from a hostile Jewish elite. No other way to call it, folks. Just got to start calling things for what they are. I'll tell you what's going on with America right now with Jim Sessions. What's really going on? Is he helping? Is he hurting? I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. I saw something coming from the Jewish community. It was like, these guys are insane. They spent a century, if you think about it, tearing down and mocking everything white that you can think of. Anything that we would hold sacred. Church, family, the community, jobs. And all that they want us to hold sacred is this insane idea called the Holocaust. And it's objectively one of the dumbest, most idiotic stories I have ever read in my life. And it's so macabre, and it's so sick, and it's so evil. How can you really, folks, I'll be honest with you, how can you participate in such a lie? How can you participate in an event that vilifies entire people, even as you want to try to claim that you shouldn't be vilifying the Jews? And then, but what do you think that they're doing to everybody else through this? You know, how is it that I'm supposed to grow up as a child, or my children are supposed to grow up, or my grandkids, for that matter, don't have any yet? But why is it that we're all supposed to grow up and thinking that we are so evil, darn bad people? But Jews don't take any responsibility for the crimes of their people. It's impossible to escape the 60 plus million people killed at the hands of Jews in Russia. It's impossible. Yet I don't hear Jews complaining that, oh, we need Jewish guilt and we need to be feeling bad about that. See, it's time for us to end this programming that we've been subjected to by an evil, hostile people that is dedicated to the state of Israel. We can gain nothing as a society by giving and deflecting our energy in deference and service to those who put Israel and their interests above our own. We've gotten to this point now to where we must say no, and I mean vociferously. We must look into mass expulsions, mass purges. If you can look at Saudi Arabia today, how much purge has gone on over the last few weeks, and what's happened in Turkey, and what has happened in pretty much many countries are out there. Yet we haven't done it in the West. And when you hear people saying Jews out, you know, in Europe at all these football matches, it's kind of humorous. Hey, you got to get rid of the Jews. Well, but there are reasons for that. Because just as Jews want to purge our academic world, for that matter, They want to purge our religious institutions. They want to purge our political institutions and install their own unique, dedicated Israel Jewish first personnel into these systems. Well, understand it's resources. Folks, there's limited resources out there. There's only so many judgeships, so many professors, so many politicians. So much radio spectrum. There's only so much radio spectrum. And there's only so many scarce resources running through the streets. It's time that we put all of this to use for a better America. For a better future for all Americans. Not just for Jewish Americans. It's a unique challenge, to say the least. You know, there's been a lot of news coming out of Syria lately. And essentially, Russia put it on the table this week and said, look, America is the commander-in-chief of the terrorist forces inside of Syria. There was a video released just this week, again, from the Russian Ministry of Defense. And it, as they purport, it shows the United States actually covering ISIS combat vehicles. They're allowing Daesh or ISIS to recover their own combat vehicles that were destroyed. They were allowing ISIS to redeploy some of their combat vehicles. And so essentially the Russians are saying, look, to the global community, and that includes us Americans. The American military is playing a very dirty game right now. There's no way around it. The American military is showing that it is a criminal operation. What's the matter with you guys in the inside of the Department of Defense? None of you have the chutzpah? I know we don't want to use that Jewish term, right? But none of you have the guts to stand up and do what's right? You know, that's the problem here in the West. Nobody does what's right anymore. Nobody has nobody just stands up and does what's right. Everybody cowers. Everybody hides. Everybody wants to sit under fear and say, oh, we can't do anything. We're afraid. Even in the face of stupidity, drives the people out there are starting to get it so much that at what point do we say you guys are idiots? Because that's really what we're seeing now is these guys are just idiots. Give us more Gibbs. You know, you talk about the migrants and their Gibbs me attitude or the black community and their Gibbs me attitude. Gibbs me more, Gibbs me more. Well, you know who the biggest whores out there are? The people in the military. Gibbs me more, Gibbs me more. For what? What are you guys doing with it? Causing misery everywhere you go. And what are we as the American people getting in return from you guys? Support the troops. What do you mean support the troops? Yeah, I don't mind supporting the troops, but what are they doing? Let's define what they're doing. What are you doing in Syria, folks? Honestly, what are you doing in Syria? Were you invited there by the Syrian government? I don't think so. So what are you doing there? Oh, you just decided to go ahead and just invade and do some bunch of illegal stuff because it is illegal no matter how you cut it. Yeah, support you for what? With all due respect, what are you doing there? You know, that's how our politicians should be dealing with this. What are you doing there? Stop the funding. Get the hell out. It's not your country. Get out. Why are we funding you? Gives me more, gives me more, gives me more. I can hear all the generals nowadays. Gives me more. For what? Because we don't have politicians who have guts. We don't have politicians who actually put America first. They only put Israeli interests first. That's why the American military is inside of Syria to support literally the Israeli government and its agenda and its interests. gives me more, and the Jewish community saying, yeah, gives me more. Gives me more. We need to train all of your police forces in Israel. Gives me more. It's become, I swear, the whole thing has become so nauseating to me. Because there's nobody with a backbone in America willing to stand up. You know, you hear and you hope that Trump will try to do something right. But then you see the Congress negotiating this week about what is and isn't anti-Semitism. It's like, what, of all the problems we got in the world today, that's what you're going to be talking about this week? Whether or not this or that or this or that is quote unquote anti-Semitic. I mean, give me a break already. See, we need to start to enter people into more political races. We need to continue to work hard to influence public opinion. We need to continue to work hard to change the structure of our university system. Guys, we are in a really an existential battle for the West right now. And whether or not we have the ability, the fire, the desire to fight back remains to be seen. But I'll tell you what, I've seen changes, and I believe that people have the ability to do it, and I believe really the younger generation is starting to get it. And let's keep focusing on making this place a little bit better. It's Fetch, Inside the Ally, Prime Time.